We do have, as you've already heard, this wonderful testimony from the Crabtrees that God is doing stuff around the world. And here's a speaker with us this morning who has also had a great ministry over many decades, Mongolian mission and into China. Our friend, a longtime friend of this church, James Goss, is with us this morning.
Yeah.
All yours.
Thanks, David. Well, good morning. Lovely to see you. Been a long time. Hey, I've been so blessed already. So blessed. Thank you for that lovely worship. And we had a lovely time in the prayer room beforehand. Let me just give you a little plug for that. If you want to be blessed, give yourself a little bit of extra time and join the prayer meeting. I didn't want to leave there, actually. I thought, can we stay here? But so beautiful. And as we were praying, these darling little girls were drawing pictures on the whiteboard. Beautiful. So good to see Bill and Monique Crabtree. I've heard about you for many years and your exploits, but privileged to be here. You know, as we're praying this morning, I had a picture of a lighthouse, and sometimes we can think that we just come here to church and God is in this place that's confined. But, you know, as we worship, as we praise, like a lighthouse that goes across, you know, at night time you can stand on the shore of Perth here on the ocean and see the lighthouse. See the lighthouse at a rot nest. And your light shines into this. I just had no idea this morning it was shining into Congo. Because where this couple go and where they pray, you shine your light. The reach of Hillside Church is not confined to a geographic area. As you begin to praise, as you begin to worship, wherever you are, as you pray, the reach of Hillside Church goes into the nations. Hallelujah. Some of you are going to leave this morning feeling a little bit lighter. As David was praying in the prayer room this morning about people's burdens and people's worries and cares, I had a picture of people coming in. I saw it laden down with all this stuff. But as they were going out, they were lighter. So you don't mind this morning as they've set up some scales down there. They're going to weigh you on the way out. But we come to God. Come to me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden. And we ought to leave here free. And I believe you will this morning. Not through anything of me, but because of the Spirit of God. You know, Pastor Kerry phoned me last year. He said, oh, how you doing? Catch up. I bumped into you at a meeting here. And so you have to come and preach. I said, sure. Let me get my diary out this year. He said, no, not this year, next year. I said, what? He said, oh, you know, we're booked up a long time. So anyway, he booked me up, I think, in the middle of last year. So here I am. And would you believe it? He had so much time to prepare and he has a day off. I couldn't help. He texted me yesterday and said, look, I may not be there. I said, well, was it heavy ministry? Or you couldn't stop talking with Steve Hall all the way. That's laughing and joking. Now, I'm not going to answer that. You'll have a look at this message. I'll be careful. But it's a delight to be with you. Let me just share something on my heart because I may forget in what I'm going to share. There's someone here this morning, finding yourself in a frustrating position. You're doing work, productive, you're earning income, but there's a deep itch within you. And there's been a stirring of God to say, I need to lead this and fulfill the calling of God on my life. But it's risky, okay? If that's you this morning, maybe more than one person. I just hear to say this morning, do it. Just do it. Just do it. There's a deep frustration for the calling and the gifts of God for something more. Just do it. Hallelujah. Now this morning where am I? Yeah, I've got a screen here, have I? Oh yeah, there we go. Okay, I'm going to talk about seeing in the dark. Now does anyone, let's pray. Father, I pray that as I share these very simple thoughts this morning, that in the midst of many words, your voice would be heard. your voice would come through loud and clear to speak into situations that we're finding ourselves in. You know where we are. I pray, Holy Spirit, take my simple thoughts and speak into the hearts of people that we might see you more clearly, in Jesus' name. Does anyone have a problem seeing in the dark? Now, I do. I don't like going anywhere at night time, particularly if it's an unfamiliar place, because a lot of times there's no street lights, and can you believe it, people don't turn their lights off. So trying to find numbers in the dark. Does anyone have any issues with that? Okay. Here's a couple of tips. I don't wear glasses, as you can see, but I have glasses which help me at night time. Sometimes I forget to bring them, so that's a problem. And the other thing I found helpful is actually bringing a big torch. And so, spotlight on it, and that helps you find numbers in the dark. Sorry, that's all the tip I can give you. Not much help this morning. So if you wear glasses, use glasses, take them with them, take a spotlight. But I want to share to you about how to see in dark times. You know, I'm sure we're all aware that we live in dark times. We live in times of dread and uncertainty, and, you know, the whole invasion of Russia, of Ukraine, and the impacts of that has been felt around the world, to say nothing about the pain and the suffering of people. But and then we have, of course, China playing saber-rattling in the South China Sea and all of that with Taiwan. And where's this going to go? To say nothing of COVID over the last few years. We've experienced darkness. And a lot of people out there, I don't know whether you've found, are increasingly overwhelmed by that. But friends, we are people of the light. And I believe that we've come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Isaiah speaks about at times of gross darkness. Behold, darkness shall come upon the earth. But the glory of the Lord shall be seen upon you, and kings shall come to the brightness of your rising. Gentiles shall see the light of God. Hallelujah. We've come to the kingdom for such a time as this. And we need to be people that, yes, we don't relish, but hallelujah, now is the time. And if ever there is a people to see in these dark times, it ought to be you and I. And I want to share with you how to see in dark times. Nothing complex. You know, next slide. There we are. There's a screen up there. Didn't tell me about that, David. Thank you. You know, one of the things I love to play with my kids, lovely to see Fred Anderson here this morning. What a delight. He just keeps going. You don't change at all, Fred. Hey, just keep on going. Hey, Isaiah 40, they shall run and not be weary, eh? That was for you, brother. You know, I love to play my game. I get, 7 grandkids, and one of the things I love to do is tell stories, and, you know, we switch the lights off. Games of imagination. You know, kids are good at that, aren't they? You know, turn the lights on, and I say, guess what I can see? What, Granddad? I said, oh, wow, there's a big angel over there. Wow. You know, always tell stories, you know, a bit scary. We have a gauge, how scary should we, particularly when we're there. Well, maybe not really scary, just about middle way. I mean, they know the end because Jesus is always going to come and rescue them. They say, oh, Granddad. My 18-year-old says, oh, Granddad, your stories, anyone can see through them. But kids have a power of imagination, and there's this powerful thought of imagination. Powerful thought that sometimes as adults we lose it. This is a man and woman who comes like a little child. Sometimes we've got to lose a sense of that and become childlike. Not childish, but childlike in our faith of God and imagining. Next slide, please. So can you see what I see? And that was what... You know, and they start this game. Oh, Granddad, can you see what I can see? What? And then they'll tell me, there's a big monster. Ah, no. But imagination. And God has given this because he wants us to see what he sees. It's not hard to realize that when we look at the world, God sees it differently to you and I. He doesn't say, oh, COVID, never saw that coming. Oh, dear. Never saw Russia invading Ukraine. Come on. He always has taken what the enemy has intended for evil and worked it together. He always has. He always will do. He plays ahead of the enemy. We know that because as he saw the innocent Son of God crucified on the cross, the Apostle Paul writes, if he'd only known, he never would have crucified the Lord of glory. He always sees it ahead. And now, shock, horror, he knows that the Son of God has paid, the Lamb of God has paid for the sins of the world. If this news gets out, I'm finished. Well, guess what? People like the Crabtrees and others have said, we're not going to let these people in the Congo or elsewhere die without never hearing about Jesus Christ. It's too late. He's done it. But there's people like them with a passion and a fire in their hearts and people like you that are taking this good news and setting people free, delivering them from the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Hallelujah. What a privilege we have. What a joy we have to be able to do that. You know, I'm surrounded by death. Last year I work part-time as well as that, my tent-making ministry. I love going in tents. I just my tent-making is working in aged care chaplaincy. I was in hospital chaplaincy for many years. Last year we had 104 people pass away in 15 months. Sadly, many of them passed away with a broken heart. Oh, there was other conditions as well. So it's been a difficult time. But I have the privilege of sharing with people. And many people don't consider about eternity until they're staring death in the face. I've had the privilege of leaving more people of faith in Christ in the last 10 years than I have when I was pastoring a church. Hallelujah. And guess what? They pay me to do that. How good's that? They're doing. It's like a kid in a toy shop. You know, it's like working in a toy store. I love it. But we had a Kenyan lady pass away. Beautiful sister, and some of you may know. Wendy Yap leads a prayer group or intercessors. But Sally was a lady in her late 40s, three young kids, reaching Kenyan, Ethiopian, Tanzanian refugees out in the northern suburbs. And Sally developed COVID, and she was going down. There was much prayer and much prayer. I went, felt, is anyone anointed with oil? I went into the hospital, got through because I know the hospital system, and prayed for her and believed God was going to do a miracle, but Sally died. Well, we're brokenhearted. We're confused. It's doing amazing work, God, reaching these mainly Muslim young women who are looking for something. God, where are you? Wendy, I spoke to her the other week. We're talking 5 months now, maybe 4 or 5 months. There's now from that group 12 groups of people that have spread. Hallelujah. 12 groups already in just a few months from Sally's life. Says of Sally, I'm going to pick up the baton. I'm going to pick up a baton and I'm going to run. We send a multiplication. I guess Jesus was right when he said, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and dies, it abides alone. But if it dies, it shall bring forth much fruit. Hallelujah. Much fruit. And we don't understand. Life is a mystery. I quoted, I'm doing a funeral on Friday for a volunteer friend of mine who's serving 5 years. Lovely man, ex-Anglican minister. Just love God. Got a call from his daughter. He said, quick, will you come? Walked into Dad's unit this morning, fit and well, young 70s. He's lying there, dead. I'm brokenhearted. I said, I'm a bit inconsiderate of him next to not say goodbye to me. But he got what he wanted. But I shared with 120-odd people at the village as they came. They mourned. They deeply touched his life. And a quote from Henry Nguyen says, most people know that life leads eventually to death. But very few people realize that death can lead to life. If we allow God to see it from his... I have no idea what's going to happen, but I do with Sally. All right, I better keep moving. Okay, here we go. Next slide. Sometimes God wants us to look at our circumstances through a new perspective, his perspective. And I don't pretend I've got this, but I'm learning it. I'm learning that we need to look at life through God's perspective in the midst of the darkness. And my scripture this morning is this one, John 8, verse 12. Then Jesus spoke to them and again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. The Message translation is a little bit different. It says, Jesus once again addressed them, I am the world's light. No one who follows me stumbles around in darkness. I provide plenty of light to live in. And the New Living Translation says, Jesus spoke to the people once more, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads to life. You know, this is not an unfamiliar passage. I'm sure many of you know it in your heart. But, you know, knowing it in your head and knowing it in your heart, it's quite a difference, isn't it? You know, for 10 years or so before I came to faith, I knew in my head, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting. But it wasn't till 10 years later it dropped in my heart. And this scripture recently has just dropped in my heart. It's in my head. Now it's become real. That's why I can preach it. Because it's real. You know, the psalmist said, Thy word have I hid in my head that I may not sin against you. No, it doesn't say that at all, does it? Thy word have I hid in my heart that I may not sin against you. It's when the word of God, the words of Jesus penetrates our heart that change happen. Hallelujah. Sadly, many of us, and myself even, are content just to simply know the word of God in my head, but never impact. So in looking at darkness, if I had the next slide up, please. You know, if I put rose-coloured glasses on, should I be surprised that everything looks that colour? If I look at the world and situations through the doom and the gloom and the overwhelming and the media and the hype and social media, should I be surprised that I see it that way? COVID inflections, unemployment, economic downturn, hallelujah. But sometimes whilst I'm not denying that, and I'm not saying ignore it, but sometimes they can colour how God wants us to see the world and our circumstances. Can I hear an amen? Amen? You know, again, looking into the future, there's one thing I'm positive. God is not looking at the circumstances from his perspective, seeing China and Russia and the economy. He's not going, oh, dear Christ, oh, I don't know what we're going to do. He's got it all under control. Hallelujah. I'm convinced that God has it. So we need to see from God's perspective. Next slide, please. Sometimes, maybe this morning as you're sitting here and listening to me, that God, the Spirit of God, wants to cause you to see what you're seeing in a different way. You think, wow, I'm seeing things different. Well, should we be surprised? When the Spirit of God wants to open our eyes and remove the things that are blocking us from seeing as God sees. Next slide. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Sometimes we think that the light of God is like a spotlight. You know what it's like in the dark? It's not. It's like a lamp. What's out there? Don't worry about it there. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. It's one step at a time. Because friends, God is not going to change the rules for you and I. We walk by faith and not by sight. One step at a time. I think sometimes I've said to God, I'd like a spotlight. I'd like to see. He said, no, James, believe me, it's not for you. If you could see what's out there, you wouldn't be going there. But one step at a time.
God, I'm walking in the light. I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of light. And sometimes we try and face tomorrow's problems and the situation with today's faith and grace. It will never cut it. He wants us to walk one step at a time. You know, it's interesting to look at this and look at the context, because the whole of the scripture in John 8 is in the context of a woman caught in adultery. And you know the stitcher, this woman, nameless woman, has been caught in adultery. Scribes and Pharisees brought her to Jesus. She was caught in the act of adultery. Now, as I understand adultery, there's got to be two people. Is that right? Where was the man? He was gone. Maybe he was known to them, so we just ignore. Scary, isn't it? I have to say, this woman was in darkness. She understood what the law said. If she was caught in adultery, stoning. So things were dark, but they were about to get a whole lot darker when tons of stone. It's interesting, Jesus says, okay, you know, he goes and writes on the ground, and as many commentators have suggested what she said. Jesus writes on the ground. And one by one, from the oldest to the youngest, they dropped their stones and left. Jesus said, he is without sin. The commentators say that actually what he's implying there is that he is without the sin of adultery. Quite pointed, isn't it? He who has not been involved in adultery, you cast the first stone. Oops. And Jesus said, where are your accusers? There is none. Then go. Nor do I accuse you. Hallelujah. You've been in darkness. I was. First 30-odd years of my life, I was in darkness, tried to hide from sin. But Jesus stepped into my life. Hallelujah. And if you're here this morning and Jesus, you've never invited him to set in. If you're still hanging on to the shame and the guilt and the condemnation of sin, all you need to do is let Jesus step into your life and you can be free too. Hallelujah. He's doing it every day around the world when people hear the good news of Jesus Christ. He's the light of the world. He's come that we will not stick in darkness, but have the light of life. Hallelujah. Yeah. You know, we could look at many stories, and I'm watching that clock there, and it's going faster than I want it to. You know, there are many situations. Joseph was thrown in prison because Potiphar believed the lie of his wife that he tried to rape her. He was defenseless. In the short term, it caused a heartache. But friends, God had another plan. It was a bigger plan. And some of you this morning are facing situations about being imprisoned. You're facing circumstances of being imprisoned. But God has a bigger plan that maybe you cannot see at the moment. But let me say, God has a bigger plan. Maybe you've been falsely accused like Joseph. Maybe that resonates in your heart. I didn't plan to say that, but I feel God wants me to say that. Some of you feel imprisoned by the circumstances you're in. But God has a bigger plan. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, we don't need much imagination. She was pretty dark. And the church itself is going through accusations at the moment. Looks pretty dark. Let me say, God has another plan. You know, political correctness has gone mad, and the requirement of this and this. And you think, oh dear, how is this church going to survive? Jesus, how are we going to survive? He gone. He who sits in the heaven laughs. He laughs. He laughs at your circumstances. He laughs at the situation where the enemy's trapped you. He laughs. Because God has a bigger plan, a far greater plan. Hallelujah. I was reading a scripture this week which really blessed me. I'm going to speak into that. If I have the next slide, please. My enemy, Psalm 56, will retreat when I call to you for help. This I know, God is on my side. I praise God for what he has promised. Yes, I praise the Lord for what he has promised. And as a young boy, my mother grew up, my dad left when I was 11 years of age. My mother raised 8 kids, needless to say, on her own. No social security, worked 3 jobs. She's my hero. And it was a real answer to prayer when she met, many years later, a young farmer 10 years younger than her. His name was Tom. Tom was a big, big man. A gentle giant, big farmer. And we had fun as kids. It was right, you know, it was the era you could jump in the back of a ute and just sit there, no seatbelts, just have fun. So we used to lay around town. And sometimes we get a bit cheeky on one particular, you know, call out, you know, young kids do. And anyway, one time we did, and these kids came up, we were stopped at the lights there, and these kids coming up, they were going to let us know that they didn't appreciate the comments. I'm thinking, yup, hey, Tom, we need you. Tom gets out of the car and these kids go, whoo, I still remember it. Friends, God is on our side. My enemies will retreat when I call to you for help. This I know, God is on my side. Do you know who's on your side? The Almighty One, the Great I Am. Hallelujah, the author and the finisher, he's on your side. Isn't that good? Do you forget that? Oh, that's good, because I do too. But the Spirit of God reminds me, oh, God is on my side. God is on my side. I will praise for what you've promised. Yes, Lord, I will praise you for what you've promised for me. And your promises are yea and amen. Hallelujah. Back to the slide, please. Jesus spoke to the people once more and said, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you will have the light of life. There's a little word in there. It's if. It's conjunction. If. That's your bit and mine. He is the light of the world. The question is, will we follow? We have a choice. You won't walk in darkness if you follow me. You will walk in darkness if you don't follow me, but if you follow me, you will not have to walk in darkness. Doesn't say all darkness will go, or you'll never have to face darkness, or there'll never ever be any darkness. No, he didn't say that. He said, if you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness. My question is, are you following him? Some years ago, I was at a church service and someone said to me, oh, look, we've got this special speaker. Would you want to hear him? It's a prophet and well-known, it doesn't matter. And where's the address? He said, oh, look, I don't know the address. Just follow me. Okay. Yeah, just follow me. Well, unfortunately, this guy was Leadfoot Larry. Traffic, red lights didn't mean anything to him. And before long, this is prior to mobile phones, and, you know, and fortunately, I'm flashing my light and bibbing, he's gone through. And I said, stop. I said, listen, mate, I want to follow you, but you can't speed off. Just go slowly. Anyway, eventually got the point. I made my point very clear. And we got there. How far, how close are you following Jesus? That's the question. See, following him is not just coming to church on Sunday. Praise God for Sunday services. But the imperative there, follow me, is a continual ongoing sense. Every moment of every day, of every moment, is following him. You know this, but we so easily forget it. Oh God, I was in church last Sunday. And my first part of my life was that I was part of the Catholic Church. I used to clock in. Dead on 1 hour. We'd be gone by now. But see, I did that for the wrong reason. I did it because I had to keep God happy. Because if I didn't keep God happy, he'd take me out. So there's a fear. We don't come to church. We come to church to celebrate. But if you follow me, and my question is, how close are you following? Every moment of every day. Hallelujah. Pray without ceasing. How can we pray without ceasing? Got work to do. It's a turning of the heart. It's an openness. God. And what is prayer? Prayer is not just about talking to God. Prayer is listening to God. I hear from God. God speaks to me at times when I'm not on my knees, when I'm not doing anything, when I'm mowing the lawn, when I'm having a shave. Now relax, ladies, if you don't mow the lawns or have a shave, he has other ways. You put eye makeup on, you know. But God loves to get your attention. Pray without ceasing. Be open to God. God spoke to me as I was driving here this morning. I was trying to focus on this. I'm going to Bunbury to do a funeral. And he said, phone this pastor and tell him, well, not tell him, ask him if he'd like to preach. I'm thinking I'd like a Sunday off. But I think it's going to happen. You know, not because, anyway, all right. But you know what I mean. Follow me, follow me. Hallelujah. Are we following him or just looking to him? Have we become distracted and turning our attention to the news reports, to the media reports and social media? Has our hearts become more in tune with that than hearing what God has say? You know, I do a great favour to some people in aged care. Oh, overwhelming, you know, friends. I said, have you read the report? I said, let me do you a favour. What? Can I borrow your remote for a moment? Yeah, sure. What do you want? Change channels. Change channels. How do you feel now? So I feel much better. Good. Change channels. Change channels, friends. Tune in to God. Tune into the worship that we had this morning in the presence of God. And the things of this earth will look strangely dim in the light of your glory and your grace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, Jesus knew his disciples. Let's come to the next slide, please. You know, in John 13, he knew his disciples. He was about to go. He knew their hearts would be overwhelmed and troubled. So his little children, I shall be with you a little while longer. You'll seek me. And as I said to the Jews, where I'm going, you cannot come. So now I say to you, next slide. But back. But Thomas asked a question. I'm thankful to Thomas. My middle name is Thomas. Let me go back. Is it? Let not your heart be troubled. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. But now I go and prepare a place for you. And if I prepare a place for you, I'll come again and take you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know the way. I'm glad Thomas asked this question. Next slide. Thomas said, but Lord, we don't know where you're going. So how can we know the way? That's fairly logical. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He was what Thomas wanted and what you and I want. God, show us the way. Show us the way. Give us the plan. Give us the roadmap. And Jesus said, if I did that for to you, it wouldn't require any faith. Here's what you want. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. Just follow me. Just follow me, Thomas. If I gave you a roadmap of where I'm going, you'd get lost and you'd try and take the short route. See, but I have a plan and a purpose in the meantime. Is that right? God has a plan and a purpose. And, you know, as we look through, and I'm actually bringing this into land now. Right from the start, when Jesus came to his disciples, he said this, come follow me and I will send you out for fish. And at once they left their nets and they followed him. Right at the beginning, right at the end of the night, next slide, John 20, Jesus is now about to leave and he's saying, Peter's saying, but what about John? What's going to happen with John? Jesus says, don't worry about John. You just have to live yourself. If it's my will that he remains until I come, what's that up to you? It's actually none of your business, Peter. Do we get distracted with other people's business, of what God is doing of them? I think he would remind us. It's nothing to do with you, Peter. Gently, respectfully, but you just follow me. Hallelujah. That's all. It's not difficult, is it? Not rocket science, not brain surgery. Just follow me. But we want to make it more complex. We want to make it more complicated. Hallelujah. I could go on, but I think I'm sort of... You know, there's many times in my life over the last nearly 40 years now that I've walked with God, that I've been through dark times. Many. And there have been occasions where God has instantly turned the lights on. I like that. But here's the deal. We don't have the light switch. It was a period, 2008, where I nearly died. I was hovering. I had simple shoulder surgery and everything went pear-shaped. And I was wondering where God was. I figured that maybe God would take one day off, but why did he have to choose that day? No, it wasn't. And I was asking God for 9 months. I was suffering post-traumatic stress where I nearly died. And I didn't think I'd ever preach again. I didn't think I'd do anything. I was overwhelming. And I was asking God, God, where are you? What are you doing? And guess what he said? There was silence. Silence. Nothing. All I just was this suffering, this post-traumatic stress. I was taking medication. I had counseling. Why? And then this little whisper said, I allowed you to nearly die because I want to change your life. I want you to sit with people who are dying. Now, here's the deal. Let me just finish that. Heaven's real, friends. I saw it. No, not with my natural eyes. I saw it with my spirit. Heaven is glorious. When I was laying hands on this brother that I'm doing his funeral last week, I didn't tell his daughter at the time, I was praying for him. God, raise David up. He's a great brother. He's such a help. He's such a beautiful. And do you know what I felt? His wife had died 5 years before. That's why he'd come into aged care. And I had a sense he was saying, James, don't do it. It's glorious. Don't do it. This is wonderful. I'm thinking, this will look good on your CV, God, if you raise him from the dead. Ambos have been, they can't do anything. We're waiting for the police. I sense him saying, don't. So God said, I allowed you to nearly die because I want to change your direction. I want you to sit with people who are dying. Okay, I hadn't seen that one coming, Lord. You know what heaven's real. You know what's death like. Now I want you to sit. So I went and did some research, found out about clinical pastoral education, got a job. I did my training at Royal Perth Hospital in palliative care. Then a door opened for palliative care at Bethesda Hospital. I was in my element. And then they wanted me to work time. I said, hey, I can't work full time. I'm running a charity into Mongolia. I got too many other balls I'm juggling. So into aged care. I've led more people to faith in Christ in the last 10 years than I have. God knows what he's doing. And maybe at the moment you're in darkness. Maybe you're screaming out to God and say, God, what? He will answer in his time. But just follow him. Continue to follow him. Continue to follow him when your heart is overwhelmed. Okay, next slide. Let me finish with this. David was overwhelmed. Psalm 61 said this. Hear my cry, O God. Attend to my prayer. From the ends of the earth I will cry to you. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that's higher than I. I saw a picture of this church as a lighthouse. The light from this church is not here. It goes right out, goes actually into the Congo, wherever else that you actually pray. It's a lighthouse. If your heart is overwhelmed this morning, lead me to the rock that's higher than I. If your eyes have become blinkered by the media and the world and you begin to seem doom and gloom, switch off. Get the remote. I give you permission. Switch it off. And begin to tune into God. Begin to see your circumstances from God's perspective. Next slide. Next slide. So my question to you is, where will you walk in 2022? Will you walk in darkness? Jesus says, next slide, if you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness. Hallelujah. He's not going to show you the spotlight. He's just going to show you one step at a time. Hallelujah. He's with you. He's teaching you to walk by faith and not by sight. And he will lead you through the difficult times and times of darkness and increasing darkness that lie ahead. But when others are stumbling and falling around you, when others' hearts fail them for fear and overwhelmed, they'll say, why? Tell me about how you're walking in the midst of it. I'd gladly tell you that I'm following one who said, if I follow him, I will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Father, thank you for your simple word this morning, which can have such a profound impact upon our lives. And as we are a people that increasing darkness, remind us, Lord, to change the channel, to switch off the doom and the gloom and the overwhelming, to remove the lenses that so subtly come and cloud our perspective, and help us to see our circumstances from your perspective. And while we wait for God's light to come, help us to lean into God. Help us to trust you. Help us, Lord, to see that you are still in control. Lord, as Isaiah said, gross darkness shall cover the earth, but the glory of the Lord shall rise upon you. Kings shall come to your rising. Gentiles shall begin to see the rising of God. In this hour of darkness, help us to be a people of light. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.